Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2 and 98.3 FM. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all have friends. Some of us more friends than others. But no matter your age, friendships can at times be complicated. Nothing is ever perfect, but are some friendships less perfect than others? Well, sometimes your friends may be unfriendly, shady, narcissistic, selfish, jealous, even unkind. Did I leave out anything? How do you know that your friends are any of these? And how do you address it? We're talking about friendships tonight. And joining me to talk about this is licensed psychotherapist Candace C. Anderson. If you have questions or comments about the relationship, and I use the term loosely, that you have with your friends, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810, or you can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Hey, Candace, how are you?
Hello, Harold. How are you?
It is good to have you back on the program. I'm doing just fine. But
glad to hear.
Yes,
glad
but how are your friends?
I tend to think I choose my friends pretty wisely, so I think they're good.
Yeah, I would say the same. But let's talk a little bit about a definition for the word friendship. How would you define friendship?
So I would define friendship as a mutual relationship that is platonic. This relationship in which there is a mutual trust, compassion, honesty, independence, and equality. So what's good for one person is also good for the other person, and there's this mutual exchange of care for this other individual.
Mm-hmm. I like that. We're not talking about like friends with benefits. That's a different show.
Right.
Right. Okay. Just wanted to make sure we're clear about that. Are there different kinds of friendships?
Absolutely. I would say that there are several kinds of friendships. So we can talk about work friendships, which means that you have this companion at work that maybe you can lean on if you are out of the office. You trust them when they are in meetings. They give you information. The information is accurate. Friendships with people that maybe are in your community where you have this view of community wellness is the same. You're down for, you know, whatever is needed in your block, your community. But when we talk about friendships, most of the time we are talking about intimate personal relationships that are platonic / non-romantic / non-beneficial, but you can put them in different boxes. One friend may be for a purpose that another friend is not, right? Everybody is different. And so we may need to label what category and what box do we put these individuals in. For me personally, I know who I can call if I am in need of advice. I know who I can call that is a good listener. I know who I can call that may be an encourager. And I know who I want to not call under certain circumstances because I have them all categorized.
Yeah. I mean, you have your, as you said, your work friends. You may have your church friends. Mm-hmm. You may have your old friends, new friends, your ride or die friends.
Your ace.
Yeah.
One.
Best
exactly.
friend.
Yeah.
Those, as I like to say, who are in your immediate orbit, you know, your Mars, your Earth, your Venus, you know, your Mercury, you know, those really the ones that are, you know, close in, and then you have those that are in your outer orbit, for mm-hmm. example. And like you said, you know, they have certain responsibilities within the relationship. But how would you describe a bad friend. Mm-hmm. That sounds like an oxymoron.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like an oxymoron, but it is more common than not. I usually get a lot of women who come in because they are experiencing some sort of breach in the trust in their friendship, or there's just confusion about how to handle it. And one of the things that I have people recognize and realize is that everybody is human, and not everybody is a good person. So when you select, because you get to choose your friends, right? They're not blood related and they're not family, but you get to select the people that you want around you and in your circle and in this very interpersonal experience. And so guess what? There are going to be some bad friends. Now, there is, of course, degrees to that, and we can discuss that, but they exist and they are common.
Yeah. We're talking about friendship, the good, the bad, the ugly parts of friendship. How do you know if your friends don't have your best interest in mind? And what do you do about that? Give us a call if you have a comment or a question about friendship. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I really would like to also hear from guys tonight. Often when we talk about these kinds of relationships, we hear a lot from women, and I want to hear from them too. But I'm really interested in hearing about the difference between, in your opinion, listeners, between how men and men conduct their friendships and how women and women conduct their friendships. Again, lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so give me an example. You said there were degrees. Give me an example of a bad friend.
Okay, so let's say you invite this friend of yours to go out and they at the last minute cancel. That happens, right? So I wouldn't consider that person to be a bad friend. So you have to decide, okay, am I going to give them grace and I will extend an invitation next time? I'm going to be compassionate and understanding. Then you have some instances where the friend does things that are very blatant and that cause what we call a rupture in the relationship, such as lying, being dishonest, a betrayal, or someone who is not there when you need them, but you've been there for them, right? So there's this lopsided, this unbalanced give or take in the relationship where you got a bad friend who was the taker.
Yeah, that.
Because remember, friendship is mutual, so it should be balanced. And it should be balanced in different ways. So let's say your friend maybe has a lot of resource. Maybe they're always giving you resource, but you don't have resource. You can certainly meet your obligation as an equal friend and that interaction by showing up in other ways for them. So it's about the balance and the equality in that mutual exchange.
You know, I do subscribe to the idea that to have a friend, you have to be a friend.
Be a friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that, you know, that takes, I think, some conscious effort on your part to make sure that you are there when you're needed in big and small ways.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we first learn about friendship at home. They're usually our siblings. Our sibling is our first friend. But then we go into, you know, preschool, kindergarten, early childhood, and whomever is around us in our class is our friend. And when we get to adulthood, we have a better understanding of, okay, I want a friend that has these types of characteristics versus anybody who is around me or who's in my class or who's in my neighborhood. Friend to pick and become more about who they are.
Okay. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about friends. What do you have to say? Let's go to Monica, calling from Maryland. Monica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I guess it's more or less about myself. You know, I'm the type that, well, I didn't have any siblings until later on in life, but if I find myself, I make a friend, I show myself friendly, But then after a while, I'm a loner. Let's just put it like that. I'm a loner. And growing up, whenever I did form friendships, I would have to move either back with my mom. It was a back and forth thing between my mother and my grandmother and or other members of the family. So does that have an impact on the type of friend you are? And what can I do to remedy that? Because it's like I said, I start off, you know, with the friendships and stuff, but then after a while, I find myself like either losing contact or not keeping up contact. And I always make this resolution that I would try, you know, and it's even like with family members. So help.
Yeah. And let me say, you know, Monica, before Candace jumps in, keeping in contact with friends now compared to the way it used to be a generation ago because of social media and the like is really easy. So I would guess, and you can help me with this, Candace, if she's having difficulty staying in contact with friends now, it's not about the logistics. There's something else.
Mm-hmm. I'd agree. And first, I would encourage you, Monica, to just think about what you've seen, because you mentioned your mother and your grandmother, right? So how you've seen your mother and your grandmother show up in their friendships. Do they return calls? Do you hear them gossiping about the people that they say that they're close with? And then when you look at keeping in contact, that's a two-way street, first and foremost. So if you are the one that's always initiating, it could mean that the other person really isn't interested in cultivating, you know, being your good girlfriend or, you know, or your homie. So if that's not the case and you are examining how you show up in the friendship, do you truly want to be connected to this person? Does it feel like a chore when you're having to have conversations or text or interact? Is that friendship something that you really want, or do you feel obligated? Because if you feel obligated, you're not going to be motivated to continue it, and it's not going to be something that you want.
Okay. Mm. Yeah. Well, there you go.
Makes sense?
Monica, hey, make the first move. And as we said earlier, sometimes you have to be a friend to have a good friend. I think mm-hmm. that's a good way to go. Monica, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. B, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I wanted to comment on the question or that you had asked, well, how do you know when someone is just, you know, to let somebody go, right?
How you know they're being a bad friend?
Yeah, they don't have your best interest at heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like you know when you've expressed yourself. Like sometimes we don't know how to express ourselves, just like they don't know how to, that they being a bad friend. And just like a previous person has said, like your background may have been how to be a good friend, but theirs may not be, or they might not know, like, that's a love language of yours. But after you've expressed yourself, I feel like if they haven't tried, because we can't expect people to be who we are, but we also still have to have deal breakers. Like, if you feel like you need this as a person, like, because if I'm satisfying you, it's only right that, you know, you can at least consider what I need. And I might not know, you might not know, but if I tell you, I'm giving you the opportunity to be better. And you still, it's like you got to sometimes give people a chance. Obviously, y'all connected for a reason. And sometimes people just don't know.
Yeah.
Even if we know, you know? So if we give them that opportunity, I feel like now you're being a bad friend.
Candace, your thoughts about what B is saying?
I agree with what she's saying. And people don't understand that friendships require maintenance. Friendships require you to assess, to confront issues, just like romantic relationships. And sometimes we, because, you know, we're friends and we get along, we have so many things in common, we go, oh, you know, my friend just knows me, right? They should know when I'm upset. They should know why I'm upset. They should know what I'm thinking, and that's just not the case. So when you have an opportunity to go to this person that you want to cultivate this friendship with, you can say, hey, you know what? I felt this way when this thing happened. Can we do this differently next time? That's you taking accountability for the way that you feel. That's you putting them on notice about how they made you feel and asking for reconciliation or just improvement in the relationship. So I totally agree with what she's saying, and I'm glad she brought that point up, because that does require maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Okay. B, thank you so much. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about friends. What if they don't have your best interest at heart? What if they're a little shady? What if they are perhaps a little narcissistic? And what role do you play in your friendships, good or bad? John, calling from Maryland, stay with us. We're going to talk to you next. The lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm. That's on WHUR. I'm Harold Fisher. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2. We'll be back in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we're talking about your friends who may not always be so friendly. My guest is licensed psychotherapist Candace C. Anderson. If you have a comment or question about your friendships and whether or not they are best for you, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. John, calling from Maryland. Hey, John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, Harold, thanks for having me.
Sure.
I'll be quick here. So one thing that I realized is that the friends that you grew up with are no longer sometimes your friends when you grow up. You outgrow each other, and I think I'm at that point, but I just don't know. How do I figure that out?
That's such a great
question. That is a great question. A great question. And coming from a brother, I'm glad that you are being really real about that, right? So, because here's the thing. We are always evolving and growing. And so who you were when you were 19 is not who you are when you are 27. And so you have to go in and think about, well, what do I value? Do I value money? Do I value my health? Do I value wellness? Do I value trust? What are the things that you are creating in your life that you want your friends to align with? And then you decide, do my current friends meet these standards?
Mm-hmm.
Then you have an opportunity to be aligned, for your friendship to be aligned with what you want in your life, because you are only going to be as good or as bad as the five people that you interact with the most.
But how does he let go if he's decided that the friends that he had at 19 are no longer aligned with, you know, his values or even, you know, what mm-hmm. he wants for himself? You know, look, you know, if John and the fellas, maybe they used to go to the strip clubs when they're early 20s. Well, now, yeah. You know, John's not doing that anymore. He's going to the museums, or he's finding, a sense of peace, you know, going to Bible study. Or, mm-hmm. you know, he was single when he was in his 20s. He may be married now. Mm-hmm. So how do you transition those friendships? Do you just kind of fade away? Do you have a conversation? What?
I think it depends on the person, because all of those things can happen. We can have a conversation. So let's say John is like, hey, tonight we're going to hit up King of Diamonds, right? Which is a strip club.
Oh, I didn't know. Thank you for telling me. All right. That's another question. That's another show about how you know that. But please go right ahead.
And that's not your thing anymore, right? Like, maybe you're married. Maybe you have some different values and beliefs currently. That's your opportunity to say, yeah, you know, I appreciate the invite. But right now, that's not really my thing. So that friend is either going to take the hint or not call you the next time that he's going, right? So then you have an opportunity to then invite your friends to the things that, hey, I'm about to go hit up this new exhibit over at the African American Museum. You want to go, then I'm going to go have a, drinks, cocktail, dinner after. that's your opportunity to see, okay, who is aligning with what fits me right now. And if it doesn't, that's okay. But what you'll find yourself doing is you will spend more time with those who are in alignment and less time with those who are not. Now, you can have a conversation like, hey, we've been boys for however long, and some things are changing for me, and I just want to make you aware that I might be moving a little differently because these things no longer align with me. And they may be like, okay, bet. I'm glad you told me. And then they may drift off, or they may start to change and evolve as well, and you all grow together. But either way, it is okay for you to know and give yourself permission to start having different interactions, because you are an ever-changing, growing, and living being.
Yeah. John, good luck to you. Great question from you. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Candace, are things different when you talk about friendships between women and friendships between men? I mean, this is why I say this, and I'll give you an example. I remember, several years ago, a woman that I knew, she was in the same business and career track as one of her good girlfriends. When her good girlfriend got the kind of job that she wanted and really, really, turned up her career, my first thought was, I know you're really happy for her. She was not.
Mm-hmm.
She was, I mean, the shade. Mm. I'm not talking about a palm tree. I'm talking about a whole forest of shade.
A forest of shade.
And she was just really, really upset. And, it made me reevaluate my friendship with her, because if something, I want, my friends to do well. I want them to do better than me. When one of my, ride or die longtime buddies, when he and his wife bought a great big beautiful house a couple of years ago, I was overjoyed and just happy for several reasons. First, number one, the house was just fantastic. But more than that, he deserved it.
Yeah.
Would I like to have had a house like that? Sure. I can't afford that mortgage. So it's not, so in my thing, I'm not thinking, gosh, I wish it were me. No. Mm-hmm. I was just so happy of the blessing of that, because he and his wife genuinely deserved a bigger, better, beautiful house. Now, is that the difference between men and women? Is that too oversimplified?
I would say that because everybody is different, and I would focus more on whether or not someone is healthy and whole, what their level of emotional intelligence is. Now, do we show up in friendships based on gender differently? Yes.
Wow.
However, right. So for men don't need usually a lot of conversation. That saying, what's understood doesn't have to be discussed. What I find with women is that because we are wired differently, we tend to be more, we tend to look into people's actions, behaviors, messages, etc., a little more. That can cause issues and conflict unnecessarily just because of how we're wired. But for men, they usually have less issues in the friendship, in that maintenance piece. Now, with your example that you gave about your friend who just purchased this amazing home and how you were happy, but you had this woman who was upset because her good girlfriend had gotten a promotion, a lot of times as women, we feel like we're in competition instead of collaboration.
Mm.
And that takes a shift in how you see yourself. That is not about the friend who is doing well. That is about you. That is about your own inability to make peace with the things that you've not accomplished, and even your own inability to get started on the path that will get you to what success looks like for you.
Yeah, and I think, even though you say that women may be wired differently, and I'm trying not to get in trouble, you know, being a man talking about this issue with women, but I do think that you can be wired differently, but how you show up can still be positive.
Absolutely. Because remember, it points back to your health. It points back to how healed you are from past traumas, old wounds. It points to your level of emotional intelligence, how you read a person, how you interpret it, how you express yourself. So that is across the board, regardless of gender identity. You being healthy and being able to show up in a healthy way in any interaction goes directly back to the work that you have done on your own stuff.
Yeah. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about friendships, and are some of our friends not the best that they could be for us? Are we not the best friends that we could be for our friends? Let's go to Jessica, calling from Maryland. Jessica, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, I have a really good friend. At least I thought it was a really good friend.
Uh-oh.
And we've been friends since I lived in Florida. We're still friends now, but there was a time where she came out to visit me right after I moved. And I was like, yeah, there's so much to do here. I'm going to show you this place. And I took her all over the place. We went to the Half Note. We went to D.C. I took her to a concert. And she just had such a great time. We went shopping. And I'm doing the best I can to show the best friendship, to show how much I care for her and want her to have a good time. So then one of my new coworker has this huge party every year. And so we go to the party and we're all having fun. There's lots of food and drinks. And then I was dancing with a younger guy. And, you know, I'm just having fun, you know, being a little cougar. And then all of a sudden, all of a sudden, it really got hot downstairs. So I went upstairs and I was in the kitchen and she comes in there and just blasts me like she was my mother. And she's like, oh, you need to date people your own age.
Ooh.
And I was like, I haven't even given him my number. I haven't even gotten to that intersection where I'm even deciding. You understand? We haven't even gotten to that part. But I just felt like that bitterness that came from her, I didn't know where it came from. And so I was so hurt because I felt like I have been the best that I can possibly be to you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you disrespect me, especially in a home, and you're doing it out loud?
So hold on, Alicia. Let me stop you here because Candace, I think, cougar or not, that... What I'm hearing, and you correct me if I'm wrong here, all of a sudden, Alicia's friend saw something in her that she was not aware. Oh, I'm sorry, Jessica. Yeah, Jessica's friend saw something. Sorry, Alicia, we're going to get to you. Sorry about that. She saw something. Yeah.
But also, what I heard Jessica say was that she had moved and she had gotten this job and she was living her best life and trying to share that with her friend. A lot of times when we are living inside of our dreams, we want the people that we love and that we care about to walk alongside of us and experience it with us.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Unfortunately, sometimes people's own barriers, regrets, difficulties prevent them from being present in all of our good fortune, positivity, even though we're like, I got you. You don't have to pay for anything. You come up here, we're going to have this fun.
Yeah.
It points directly at their own wound. Mm-hmm. So what it sounds like she was doing was that was the last straw, right? Y'all had gone to a show, a concert, had been to all these restaurants and enjoying
the
city.
It was the best weekend. It was the best weekend I've been.
Jessica, you had the nerve, honey, to be dancing and showing up for yourself freely. How dare you?
And it just kind of ruined my night, so I ended up just leaving because I was so humiliated. I was like, are you serious? Mm-hmm. After the weekend that we have had, I mean, it was stamped, sealed, and delivered. This is 100% a good weekend. Mm-hmm. And you're going to just disrespect me like that in front of people?
Wow. Mm-hmm. So,
I hope that from there, you went on to either talk to her about to get better understanding of what had happened, because that was totally about her. That wasn't you. That was her projecting onto you. Yeah. And I'm glad that you
didn't apologize, but okay. I never understood where that came from.
Yeah.
And you probably never will, because she doesn't know where it came from.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever give the guy your number?
No, I didn't. God,
yeah, then you're really now you're really mad.
It ruined my night.
That's
it
right.
It ruined my night. I literally just went back, drove back home, and just was quiet the whole night. And that was our darkest day. And I mean, we had just been on top of the world and back,
because
it was just from one event to the next event, and we're doing this, and I couldn't believe that my, you know, because I see her like a little, like a sister, because she is a little older than I am. And so I respect her. I've loved her, you know, and I just couldn't believe it. And I felt so good that she came out to see me, like within weeks of me moving here.
Yeah.
So that I felt good about that. I'm like, yes, this is my girl.
Okay.
So, you know, but the disrespect was not appreciated.
Well, Jessica, good luck as you try to, you know, mend that friendship and maybe, you know, realize that there are some, you know, some differences between the two of you. So thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Alicia, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. So, hello. I was thinking about, so I have two friends, but I'm trying to decide which one is more prominent on my mind. And so I want to say, so there's one that we were high school friends, and the friendship is over now, has been over for some years. And somehow I keep thinking about her and the way it ended. She had told me that I was passive aggressive, and I really didn't understand what that meant. And I would put so much into my friendship, because I felt like the more that I did, that you wouldn't see who I was, or when that time came that you would, when I say you, that person would say, okay, well, she's done all of these things that, like I was earning their love.
What did she say? Let me ask you this, Alicia, because we're a little down on time. What did she say that you did to be passive aggressive?
That's why I really did not understand. So I guess I wasn't expressing what I really felt, but if, and I did the therapy, I did the work and all of those things. So then I said, okay, well, I wasn't vocal on when she did something that made me feel some type of way. I didn't speak of it. I would withdraw. Because I didn't, I thought about her feelings more so than mine, because I said, well, if I tell her, then maybe it, you know, I would, it was almost like I was a child.
Yeah. Candace, what do you think about Alicia, let me have Candace respond. Go right ahead, Candace.
That's exactly where I was going to just kind of urge you to go, because it sounds like there was some sort of trauma that maybe, or a message that you received in your childhood that says, I have to be likable, and me being likable doesn't include me expressing how I really feel, because it can hurt somebody. And so when we do that, we fall into people pleasing. Because guess what? When an issue arises in that friendship, you were still mad. You just didn't say anything. And so your friend is like, so you can't talk to me and express what's happening so that we can work through this? You're simply going to shut down and withdraw, which leads to other issues. So what I would recommend that you do, because it sounds like this still bothers you, is to write her a letter. And I want you to put everything on that piece of paper that you feel. You are not going to send her that letter, but you are going to write it with your entire heart. And then when you have a moment, you can burn it.
It's been years, and I don't want to reach back out because it's been years.
Right.
But she's been playing in my mind again.
Yeah. I didn't suggest reaching out, because this is about you, not about her. So what you can do is write that letter and then burn it.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Alicia. Talk to us a little bit, if you can, about how we enable bad behavior or treatment by our friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So sometimes what we do, maybe because of our own unresolved issues, we don't want to make waves. We don't want to upset the person. And what we end up doing is being used, like allowing this person to exploit our resources, talent, abilities, connections, etc., and not saying anything about it, even though we feel some way. Sometimes we may take up for them when they make mistakes or apologize on their behalf because they've maybe messed up or they behave a certain way. And even we create these codependent relationships where we feel needed, like my friend needs me and to keep them in line, and so I feel valuable. But what you're really doing is enabling their poor behavior while also reinforcing your low self-worth by remaining connected in that friendship.
You know, because I also think that it's so important, male or female or, you know, or whatever, that we have to make sure that we are doing our part when it comes to friendship. And I think a great example is, you know, sometimes you'll have a friend call you and say, how are you? And then you will just go on this run of telling that person how you are. And I think it's really important to be self-aware, which is sometimes not very easy for guys, but you know, to be self-aware enough to, you know, after you've been telling your story, you need to pull it back in and say, hey, how are you? Because sometimes you may get, I'm good, I just called to check on you. But then there are those other times when that person may start off saying they called to check on you, but they really needed to vent to you about something that was going on with them.
Right. And that's why it's important to just, before you pick that phone up, before you send that text message, to decide what it is that you need. I'm calling my friend because I need an ear. I'm calling my friend because I need advice or feedback or opinion. Or I'm calling my friend just to say hello and, like, you know, just catch up, really catch up. Like, hey, how are the kids? How are you, do you watch the show? Et cetera, et cetera. Because when you make that phone call, you owe it to your friend to say, hey, do you have a moment for me to express some things? Can you hold space for me right now? Are you busy? I need to talk. But calling someone and dumping on them or bombarding them under the guise of, hey, I'm just calling to see how you're doing, and then you just kind of dumped, that can be considered emotional manipulation, emotional abuse. And so you always want to make sure you're respecting that person's time and that space, because they may have had a hard day.
You know, my mother has said for as long as I can remember in interacting with her friends, when she calls them, I mean, I've been literally hearing this phrase since I was a kid, and now I use it. And I'm just calling to make sure you're still breathing. And I think it is endearing. And now, you know, when I say that, you know, my friends really, really appreciate that. But the thing I wanted to ask you, and this is something that I've just noticed over the many years with my friends, there are times when some friends who have been in my outer orbit that I've not spoken to sometimes in 6 months, sometimes haven't spoken to them in a year. And yet, when they call me or I call them, we don't start the hey, stranger thing. It's almost like, you know, when I pick up the phone, it's kind of like, so like I was saying the last time, where we literally pick up.
Pick up where you left
where
off.
What is that? What, I mean, that is just...
That is connection. That is synergy. That is emotional intelligence. That's knowing that just because I haven't talked to you in a month, it doesn't mean my love and my care for you is any less. I have a good friend. We both grew up in D.C. together. We've been friends since we were 15. I cannot talk to her for 2 months. And when we reconnect, it is just like I saw her yesterday. And that's because we mutually respect each other's obligations. We think the best of each other. And when there is an issue, we can confront each other. So, again, that maintenance piece and truly understanding and knowing your friend, but then also think about how you're giving into the relationship, not just what you're getting out of it, how you're giving, because when your focus is the giving, then it's always going to be from a place of pure intention, and that connection will sustain.
I agree with that, and I think particularly for us as we get older, and the reason that we may have started as friends,
mm-hmm.
Isn't the reason that we are still friends, even
right.
though, you know, things change, people develop, they evolve. But, you know, because the entire time we've been having this conversation, it's mostly been about the problem friends. But I want to end this conversation when you're talking about those friends who show up and show out when you may not see them as frequently because people get married, people get divorced, people move away, people get, you know, jobs. They have children. They have grandchildren. They do all of those things. But when there's a crisis,
they are there.
They are there so fast for you.
And
they drop everything.
And those are the I had a crisis a couple of years ago. And I called a good friend of mine. We don't even talk all the time. 2 o'clock in the morning, she got out of her bed and came to my front door and sat with me. So those are the friends that you can trust with your life.
Yeah.
Those are the friends that will defend you in a room of critics and naysayers.
Yeah. The ones that will take a bullet for you.
Yes. Those are those friends. Now, you may have somebody that you see all the time and you go out and you do your thing and you do these little events and such together. And when the you know what hits the fan, they are not around. And that goes back to where I talked about. So you put them in different categories. You know who your ride or die, your day ones are. You know who your associates are that you could have a drink with or that you could maybe go to a concert with and you guys would have a good time. Then you know who holds all your secrets, who's going to take your stuff to the grave. And be grateful for all of them because you need all of them. None is better than the other. You need all of them to survive in this life.
In the wake of this conversation, for the people out there who are reconsidering the long-time, in-depth friendships that they have when they don't seem to be serving them well,
mm-hmm.
how do they address it for their own mental and emotional health?
So first, being very real about it with yourself and knowing that this is normal. You are not a bad person because you no longer mesh with someone that you've known for most of your life. Friendship comes with seasons, and they're seasoned in a certain capacity to be up, and that's okay. And so you just start to make adjustments because it usually will happen very naturally. If it doesn't and you feel comfortable having a conversation saying, hey, I noticed that we're going in two different directions, and that's okay. I want you to know that there is no love lost. And I wish you the best as you go forward, as I do the same. And it's okay. It's normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Yeah, go ahead.
But guess what? You're not responsible for other people's feelings. Because that was, I think, Jessica, what she was mentioning about. She would just withdraw. She wouldn't use her voice. That causes problems as well because they are not mind readers.
Oh, you mean Alicia? Alicia. Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you're not a mind reader. They're not a mind reader. And you have an obligation to show up and say, this is how I feel so that they know. Ghosting people is never okay. If it's not a matter of safety, your physical safety, ghosting people causes trauma. So you should be okay enough to say, hey, you know what? I'm not really feeling our friendship anymore, so you'll probably hear less from me. Like, let's put our big girl, big boy pants on and communicate effectively and communicate without feeling responsibility for somebody else's emotional response. That's not your response. And expect that when you end a friendship, just as when you end any relationship, there is going to be grief associated with it. It is a loss.
Yeah. Candace C. Anderson, thank you so much for talking to us. Hopefully that guy that Jessica was dancing with heard the program. Maybe he can find her.
Maybe.
we got to get her a new friend.
We made a love connection.
That's right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. That
no
is the Daily Drum for this Thursday, March 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.